Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
'Cause girl, I was made for you. Girl, you were made for me.
The special session of the Florida legislature in part to focus on immigration enforcement and to assist the Trump administration in this historic effort to finally have enforcement of immigration laws and secure our country once and for all. The legislature did not want to do it. They said it was premature, but they did come in today and gaveled in on their session on immigration. We had a series of very, very strong proposals. While they included some of the things we said, most of the stuff that's really, really going to be meaningful was not in the proposal put forward by leaders of the Florida legislature, the Republican leaders.
Fight, 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 fight. If you think that the watching Tallahassee right now is like watching the Jerry Springer show, you're not wrong. So here's the background, okay? Governor calls a special session. We'll call it Session A. Says, come here and let's pass some laws about petition reform and condos and disaster relief, and also let's get in line with President Trump and his immigration stuff. And the legislature says, what? We're having a session here in 5 weeks. What are you doing? Okay, fine. You make it happen. We make it happen. So we're going to gavel in, and we reject your proposals, and we're going to gavel out, and then we're going to gavel in again, and we're going to do a special session B, just on immigration, proposing our version of what we think Trump wants. And we'll call it the Trump Act. It's an acronym. It doesn't matter. But anyway. And so then Governor DeSantis takes to Twitter and radio and says, you guys suck. You're not doing Trump's will at all. You pushovers and, you know, you're just putting agriculture in charge of this is terrible. And so he's on Twitter last night talking about how bad this is.
Have to have a requirement that state and local entities actively cooperate with immigration enforcement federally. Otherwise, none of this stuff is going to amount to much. They gutted the interior enforcement provisions that we had where we're all working in unison. It's not enough to just say we're not a sanctuary state, which we're not. It's not enough to just say we don't have sanctuary cities, which we don't. We need everybody on board. We got to work as a team. Otherwise, this stuff just isn't going to work.
Now, of course, their response, Danny Perez's response yesterday, that's the Speaker of the House, says, we're doing this. You want to jail cops for, you know, whatever you view as noncompliance. We want to work with ICE. We don't want to replace ICE with some, you know, local immigration police here in the state of Florida. You want to have the ability to run the immigration control from your office. We think that ought to be done by Wilton Simpson, the agriculture commissioner, FDACS, the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. They already have law enforcement power. We're just kind of granting them the ability to do this additionally. It makes more sense to grow rather than to create a whole new thing. Some of the squabbles going on here. But he just says, look, that what they're doing is completely inappropriate. And also, apparently I have heard, I don't know how true this is, because I try not to get into these personalities things, but I will say this. I always try to assess things on the basis of the policy, the argument, the evidence. I will tell you, the truth of it is sadly that a lot of politics in the state of Florida and probably elsewhere is based on personality, who likes or dislikes whom. And it's my understanding that DeSantis and Simpson just hate each other. So I don't know. Whatever. That's why. And Simpson is, a poultry farmer. That's why this is funny, because he's the one that heading the agriculture commissioner, him being in charge of immigration. This is the source of this comment.
Also, bizarrely, strip immigration enforcement power from the governor and give it to the Commissioner of Agriculture. But agriculture has not exactly been known for immigration enforcement, so it's almost like the fox guarding the hen house. It was bizarre. I think it was more a sop to folks who want cheap labor. That is totally bad policy. That can't happen.
And so that's like a personal joke, shot, shade, whatever you want to call it. And he goes on.
Now, they've named this bill the Trump Act, but that's a misnomer, because President Trump's been very strong coming out of the gate on immigration enforcement. He wants to solve this problem once and for all. The bill they did is more window dressing. It is not going to solve the problem. We're not here for theatrics. We're not here to do messaging bills. The only thing we need to do is to do things that are going to actually solve the problems for Floridians once and for all.
So in response to that, you had Ben Albritton, the Senate president, and Danny Perez, who is the Speaker of the House, put out a letter that says this is all a blatant lie. Law enforcement's our partner, not our enemy. It's no wonder the governor's proposal included criminal penalties for law enforcement. His statement clearly suggests he doesn't trust the boots on the ground, but we do. I'm for law enforcement. No, I'm for law enforcement. I'm for Trump. No, I'm for Trump. I'm against immigrants. No, I'm against illegal immigrants. I will tell you, I don't know the truth of it. I don't know which. I haven't studied the policy proposals in depth. I didn't even have a chance to listen to the three different committee meetings on special session that they had yesterday in the House, let alone in the Senate. I suspect that both are good, and I don't know why there's this big fight. I mean, from DeSantis's argument point of view, it's all about, you know, the people who do the enforcement aren't going to do it well enough. From the House's point of view, DeSantis's stuff wouldn't accomplish Trump's agenda at all, and it would just be bureaucratic and would duplicate federal services. And I don't know who's got the truth of it. So, you know, I'm working on it. I think it looks terrible. But I will say this. The governor has had his way for 6 years. And he has not been shy about using his power, especially with the dominant victory he had in 2 years ago. And I think that the people in the House and the Senate don't like it. And they're irritated. And they are flexing their muscle and pushing back against him, whether it's because they sense weakness or whether because they think he's wrong or whether because he's irritated and alienated them or whatever. But that's what's going on. And that showed up in another way yesterday, a very, very interesting development that I'll tell you about when we come back from the break. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. We're still seeing I-10, I-110 are looking good. If you are on Avalon Boulevard southbound trying to get onto I-10, just know that there's congestion traffic there. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you own a home and you're thinking about selling it, or you don't own and you're thinking about buying, or you want to sell and buy, which, you know, people do that too. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are fantastic at this. And, you know, one of the things I would say that you get with them is enthusiasm, details, experience, you know, understanding the market. And, you know, that's a byproduct of all the little things that Christina has been doing right for all these years. She's really built up this reputation, this team, and that's why they sell 175 or 165 homes a year again and again and again. And what that gives you is not just, you know, the what made them sell so many homes, but also the knowledge of what's normal in the marketplace, what's the right price, what are people going to say, what are they going to object to, and even silly stuff like what you learn from following up properly. One of my favorite stories about Christina, I remember she was telling me in the kind of the early days, she says, Andrew, I don't know why we're so successful, except I just do all the things that everybody knows they're supposed to do and they don't do. Like when somebody comes and looks at one of my homes and they don't make an offer, I call the agent and ask, hey, you know, what did they think? How did it go? What did they like? Anything they didn't like? Why didn't they make an offer? Oh, the price was too high? Okay, well, maybe we can work on that. Or they didn't like those shrubs? Okay, we can take them out if you need to be. I mean, you know, like you learn something and maybe you turn a no into a yes, but at the very least you gain information so that you can do better the next time around. And she's like, everybody knows they're supposed to do that. I just don't know how many people actually do it. I do. And you can see the results of all those little things adding up over time. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sarah, Happy New Year. You look amazing. How are things with you and Mark?
Lisa, I can't thank you enough for telling me about Wave Men's Health. We've totally rediscovered each other. Mark's working out. Oh, and we're doing more as a family than laying around watching TV.
I told you, they're incredible. My husband and I had the same experience. It's like having that spark all over again, isn't it?
Exactly. It's more than the physical. It's the connection, the energy. It's the best gift we could have given ourselves.
This new year, make the resolution that changes it all. Wave Men's Health brings you proven options for ED, low testosterone, and enhancement. Reignite your drive, rebuild your confidence, and show up in the moments that matter most.
Here's to more love and more joy in the year ahead.
Cheers to that.
Book your appointment today at wavemenshealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. That's wavemenshealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Start your year in a new Subaru from Anderson Subaru. 2024 Crosstrek model starting at $25,262. 2024 Forester Wilderness model starting at $36,222. And 2025 Outback model start at $28,868. Love is out there. Find it at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The Republican primary election to replace ex-Congressman Matt Gaetz happens on Tuesday, January 28th. This is your chance to vote in a new voice who's been with you every step of the way. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, Pensacola native and the only candidate on the ballot who voters petitioned to be there. In this Republican primary, you have a critical choice to make. Either the local who will fight for you or more of the same insider corruption. It's a choice between Northwest Florida values or the lobbyist-funded establishment. Instead of taking super PAC and special interest money to litter your mailbox with mailers, I'm asking you personally for your vote. Let's come together to bring in a new era of strong, conservative leadership as we fight to revitalize our infrastructure, protect our veterans, and battle these predatory insurance companies. AOC and the Democrats have a monopoly on the young vote, but we finally have the answer. This movement is how we strengthen our majority in the House and ensure our conservative values guide the future. Vote today for Michael Dylan Thompson, and let's make history together.
Paid for by Michael Dylan Thompson for Congress, Republican.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, you think darkness is your ally? You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it.
My 20-year-old's favorite quote from that movie. I was born in it. 722 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So I mentioned right before the break there that there was another big development yesterday, which may turn out to be one of the most significant things that happened in Tallahassee yesterday. It was very interesting because Danny Perez, who ran two different sessions, right? He had session A, which was the denouncement of what DeSantis had tried to do in this, and that they're going to come back into session B and they're only going to do immigration. They're going to do it their way, not his way. Then there was, right at the end of that, like 13 or 14 minutes, there was this set of comments.
Before we adjourn to begin our committee process, we have one more piece of legislative business. One of the promises that I made to you as a speaker was to have a more robust, engaging legislative process. Part of that mission is to more fully utilize the powers of this legislative body. We have a legislative blind spot. We tend to be so fixated on the next thing that we don't always pay attention to the last thing. We're attempting to correct that this term by putting a much greater emphasis in our committee process on the implementation of laws. But that's also true in the appropriations process.
And that's the key. It's the money, right?
Every year, we spend hundreds of hours evaluating hundreds of billions of dollars in asks to construct proposed budget that we navigate through a bicameral legislative process to produce a final general appropriations act. The governor then has an opportunity to review our work and veto items. That's a healthy process, because as hard as we try to do a good job, we make mistakes. Sometimes we have less than perfect information when we are making a budget decision. The veto creates a check on that process.
So the governor has the line item veto, and last year he used it like, you know, he was dumping red paint on the budget, right? Vetoed all kinds of projects that people worked months to put together and get for their districts and things that were good, and he just... just mass. I mean, it was a bloodbath. Okay, so he says.
However, the governor's staff also makes mistakes. They sometimes act on less than perfect information and make decisions using faulty criteria. The Constitution corrects for potential flaws in that system of checks by providing a system of balances. The legislature has the power to reinstate an appropriation. That process should be a part of our regular legislative work.
See, right now, the way it's been historically is the legislature has to, like, kind of take up the idea of overriding the veto. And it's like a rejection of what the governor has done, which, of course, he's doing a rejection of what they have done. What Danny Perez is saying is that, hey, look, he can line item veto. That's his prerogative, and it's a good thing. But we also have the ability to override, and that shouldn't be a special thing. That should just be a routine matter, of course, that we review all the vetoes and see if we want to go over them. It's not saying we hate the governor. That's just exercising our power. So
I will be utilizing our new House rule, authorizing the creation of combined work groups so that a work group from the budget subcommittees and their corresponding policy subcommittees can systematically review vetoed appropriations to see if anything might be an appropriate candidate to bring before the body for reinstatement.
In other words, we are going to go through all the vetoes and decide which ones we want to override. They are tired of being second fiddle to DeSantis, is my read, after 6 years. And especially when last year he vetoed so many of these local spend projects. We have the power to protect your appropriations, is what they're saying to the members. And let's go. We've got power. There are three branches of government. We're one of them. Let's stop pretending there's just one. Now, there's more to this. I'll explain in just a second. But John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. No accidents. We're still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, just seeing a little minor slowdown on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Also, if you're traveling Highway 29 southbound, just south of 9 Mile Road, we're seeing some delays there, about a 5 to 7 minute delay associated with that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the legislature yesterday again. Speaker Perez explaining that they are about to deliver DeSantis his first veto override of the last session on a fairly particular budgetary matter.
Last summer, the governor vetoed 30% of the legislature's operating budget, totaling $57 million. This is the pot of money that we use to pay for back-end operations, including legal, accounting, human resources, as well as funds that support the work of OPAGA, EDR, JAPSE, JLAC, and the Historic Capitol.
Don't worry about those.
We have avoided having to fire employees or shut down operations by using our cash reserves. The appropriation in question was recurring and had not been increased in years.
So he vetoed a recurring, non-increasing appropriation that runs the nuts and bolts of Tallahassee's government, is basically the idea. Vetoed 30% of it, $57 million. And they had been basically operating out of their budget surplus to pay, you know, to not actually have to fire people since that happened. But now, okay, you want to call a special session? I'll tell you what we'll do in special session. We'll start overriding your vetoes. Oh, by the way, you wouldn't pay for our needs on funding our basic governmental activities, and they haven't gone up and they're recurring. Meanwhile, you want to jack up the own cost of your side of the government?
In complete contrast, the legislature has generously increased the budget for the executive office of the governor by 70% over the last 6 years.
Ooh.
This veto was at best a misunderstanding of the importance of the appropriation, or at worst, an attempt to threaten the independence of our separate branch of government.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the rationale, this special session represents the first opportunity to correct this veto, which we will be bringing before you for reinstatement.
111-0 on two votes. They veto overrode. Good. That's their prerogative. This is real hostilities right now in Tallahassee. And I'm interested to see what comes out of this. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, police in New York are trying to find three people that apparently stole a subway train, went for a joyride, and posted videos of it online. A video shows the trio dressed in all black, including masks, driving an R train car on Sunday night. The New York Daily News says they used black markers to cover up surveillance cameras. Then they took the train, went through at least one subway station, and passed at least one signal.
So the robust anti-theft devices that are available to the New York subway were defeated by Sharpies and balaclavas.
Yeah, they should have used one of those clubs.
Yeah.
I was thinking LoJack. Yeah, I was thinking LoJack.
How do you... I mean, I would be terrified to run into something, you know, or like another train. Also, it's not a lot of fun, is it? I mean, you can't do donuts in a subway car. Like, they're kind of stuck to the rails, right?
Yeah.
But, okay. Thanks, David.
News. I'm CJ Papa. A record low number of border crossings over the weekend. Border Patrol agents telling Fox, well, House Republicans want to talk to some city leaders.
The House Oversight Committee sent four letters to the mayors of Chicago, New York City, Denver, and Boston. The committee states while there are hundreds of cities and counties with sanctuary laws or policies across the U.S., these four cities stand out because of their, quote, abject failure to comply with federal law.
Fox's Madeline Rivera reporting a hearing to investigate the four cities set for February 11th. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem posting video on X this morning showing an enforcement operation in New York City riding a criminal alien with kidnapping, assault, and burglary charges now in custody. Tech stocks looking to rebound this morning, hammered by that new, cheaper AI model from China called DeepSeek. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is mostly cloudy this morning. We've got 47 degrees here in Pensacola. Well, last week a historic snowfall blanketed the area, but that didn't stop our local first responders. They were on call for emergencies, and in Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Okaloosa counties, there was a combined total of more than 3,300 emergency calls Tuesday through Thursday of last week.
It did slow our response down, but it did not stop us. Instead of getting from point A to point B as a quick, straight line is the quickest line, we had to divert around a little bit. We didn't want to do that, but we had to because of the road situation.
And that is Escambia Public Safety Director Eric Gilmore. He tells Channel 3 they had over 1,000 emergency calls during and after the storm, which included hundreds of EMS and fire rescue calls. Gilmore did say they underestimated how long that ice was going to stick around, but they didn't let it stop them from getting to their patients. Well, the state announced election dates for both the Congressional District 1 general election and the State House District 3 Republican primary last week.
We received that present on Tuesday when we were having the blizzard. So, yes, that announcement was made by the state.
That's Santa Rosa County Supervisor of Elections, Tappy Villain. Both of those elections falling on April 1st, and she says... ballots will be labeled as special election ballots. Each voter's ballot will automatically include the races they're eligible to cast a ballot in. And meanwhile, today, polls are currently open for the District 1 Congressional Republican primary. You can find a voting your polling location online at votesantarosa.gov or escambiavotes.gov. And those polls are open opened at 7. They're open until 7 p.m. tonight. A 77-year-old Santa Rosa County woman died after a car crash on Old Baghdad Highway. That happened on Saturday. FHP says the woman had a medical emergency, which caused her to run off the road and hit a tree. She died at the Santa Rosa Medical Center. A suspect in the fatal stabbing of an elderly woman last month was arrested and is due in Santa Rosa County at the jail soon. 31-year-old Toby White was arrested in Suwannee County after deputies tracked him through the woods.
He's in custody now, and he should be arriving at our jail today.
Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson, investigators believe White stabbed an elderly woman in Milton January 20th and fled the county in a stolen truck. Gabby Petito's tragic story is the subject of a Netflix docuseries that's due out in just a couple of weeks now. It's called American Murder, Gabby Petito.
The happiest people on social media usually have the darkest skeletons in their closet.
I'd like to report a domestic dispute. Gentleman was slapping the girl.
Can you say that's a white van?
Petito was killed back in 2021 while on a cross-country van trip with her fiancé, Brian Laundrie. It dominated the headlines at that time. Laundrie committed suicide at a state park in Florida and left behind a written confession saying he'd killed Petito. According to Netflix, the documentary will capture the reality of a young woman in an abusive relationship, even as she put on a happy, Insta-perfect face for social media. That's set to be released on February 17th. At 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Seeing in just a minor slowdown on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Also still dealing with, if you're on Highway 29 just south of 9 Mile, both in the north and southbound ways, you're going to see some delays there. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
We will have some clouds in the area today with a high near 62 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 49 degrees. On Wednesday, partly sunny skies with a high near 67. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 53. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 68 and a low near 61. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, cloudy 46 in Pensacola, 48 in Gulf Breeze, 47 in Milton. And our next news at 8 o'clock, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Chinese artificial intelligence startup DeepSeek could face curbs from the U.S. government as it upends the U.S. AI ecosystem, though enforcing restrictions on an open-source technology could be a challenge, experts said. DeepSeek's sudden rise has questioned the effectiveness of Washington's efforts aimed at curbing China's access to high-end tech over national security concerns. Google said it will change the name of the Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America and change Denali to Mount McKinley. President Trump signed an executive order requiring the names to be changed on official maps and federal communications. Amazon has named Jason Buechel, the CEO of Whole Foods, to oversee the tech giant's larger worldwide grocery business. Buechel will continue to lead Whole Foods, as well as Amazon's line of fresh supermarkets, its online grocery service, and its Go convenience stores. Futures are mixed. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 289. The NASDAQ down 612. That's Your Money Now.
The biggest Ponzi scheme in history is going on right now, and it's being run by our own government. I'm Greg Merk, Republican for Congress. Every month, our government sells new U.S. treasuries, using the money to fund massive deficit spending and pay off older, maturing treasuries, borrowing new money to pay old investors while taking their cut in the middle. This is the very definition of a Ponzi scheme. People go to jail for this crime, but Washington has been doing it for decades, and they don't even hide it. With a background in finance, I understand economics, financial markets, and global economies. I know what's wrong in Washington, and I have a plan to fix it. And I served over two decades on active duty as a Navy pilot and Combat Air Force B-1 pilot with multiple tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. We live in the most military district in America. We must send a veteran to Washington, and no one in this race has more experience than me. On January 28th, vote Greg Merk for Congress. Send the alpha to Washington and put Merk to work. I'm Greg Merk, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Greg Merk for Congress.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's Reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
We are expecting some snow here later today.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me. Our 17 critical roads within the city have already been cleared of snow.
When you need to know.
Mayor Reeves declared a local state of emergency. City offices are closed today, of course. They will schedule to be reopened.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have the unanimously reselected sheriff of Escambia County who ran without an opponent for the first time in Escambia County history. Why not mention it once in a while, Chip Simmons?
Why not? Thank you.
A guy who loves to be celebrated and feted. He loves nothing more than pomp and ceremony. He's so eager. You can actually see him blush right now.
If you do it more often, maybe I'll get used to it.
Yeah, well, no. Well, maybe. I mean, who knows, right? Welcome back, Sheriff. Good to have you on the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are we all?
We're doing well. So we had, when there's snow, there's not crime. Or not as much. Is that a fair way to say it?
I think that's fair to say. I think that we have really cold weather, or we have certainly a blizzard.
Yeah.
And I'll continue to call it a blizzard because it certainly was.
According to the Weather Channel, it was Tropical Storm Enzo.
Yeah. Yeah. I never knew it had a name
either. Let's just say it's a blizzard.
Yeah. Hey, it snowed
It's definitely a blizzard. No, it was good.
Yeah. But we did have some calls for service, and we put some numbers out yesterday because everyone's putting the numbers out because people were asking, you know, how many calls did you respond to? Well, our dispatch center almost had 1,000 calls, about 950 calls or so
during
that
the storm?
Night alone.
Oh, on
just
Tuesday.
Tuesday, the 24 hours from Tuesday until Wednesday.
What's a normal?
We probably have about that many calls into the dispatch center, but we had fewer criminal complaints. So, you know, the dispatch calls go and pick up a burglary call or something.
Yeah.
But our deputies, you know, to their credit, we didn't crash any cars. We didn't.
Wow.
We were able to continuously respond to all of our calls, certainly priority calls, but all of our calls.
Because you have so many northern transplants who come and work in Escambia County as cops?
I think that it's because our guys were able to look at the road and realize let's go a little slower than what we have been going. And I think that it's just...
So that's for all 3 days?
All 3 days,
through
yeah.
Friday?
I talked to them yesterday.
Okay.
Now, we had some cars slide off the road, but they geared it up and went right back out. And we didn't have any...
Because the ice, especially on, mm-hmm. you know, particularly Thursday and Friday, was the real, like, that's the scary stuff, right?
But I will echo something that I think I heard Eric say from the EOC was that, you know,
Eric Gilmore,
say from the Mercy Operations in the county, saying that the people staying off the roads kind of helped a bit. I would say that it helped a lot. I think that the event itself helped because the next day there was still a lot of snow, so people were satisfied with walking around and trying to play in the snow and their neighbors and that sort of thing. And a lot of places closed. So Wednesday was a big day for us. And then into Thursday. So those of us who lived through the ice storm, pretty much it wasn't near as bad as the ice storm was, you know, with regards to driving on our roadways. But the snow stuck around for snow and or ice stuck around for about 4 or 5 days. It was certainly
I just said goodbye to my backyard snowman this morning. I went out there at 4:50 a.m. and there was about 3 inches of snow left. He's going to be gone by the time I get home.
A big one, yeah.
Yeah.
The one that we made last until yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And then
probably
by noon, I didn't watch it die. I'm not that kind of guy. But
out there with your time lapse photography.
Yeah, like you're over there in tears,
going through the saying goodbye.
Oh, we didn't name our snowman. We didn't do any of that.
Well, I mean, you know, more tips on creativity. Just follow me on Facebook.
Yeah. Never.
Well. Wow. Ouch. All right. Fair enough. But, you know, you make a good point that part of it is being cautious. Part of it is if there's not so many cars out there, fewer things to run into. I mean, just, you know, it's a probability thing. But also, good note is, you know, when it's cold and snowy and icy, the criminals aren't out jacking cars and doing drive-bys or trying or, you know, I mean, crime is down because criminals have to be shelter in place, too.
Yeah, you know, we got to thinking about that, you know, and we'll take what we can get.
Right, sure.
We're okay with that. The cities up north, I guess Detroit's and Minneapolis's, the downtown areas up there that seem to have a lot of crime, they can't have that much crime in January, February, and March. I mean, it's 1 degree up there.
Oh, they're just all walking around. They do the same stuff.
I guess they're making it up in the summer. I mean, they're really going crazy when it gets warmer up there. But I know we did like everyone else did. We tried to to enjoy as much as we can. We understood that we had a very serious obligation to public safety, and obviously we took that very seriously. We had a lot of conversations, a lot of planning ahead of time. We had our deputies that were in the courthouse out in the street. We had deputies that were in our school resource program out in the street because, again, they're not The schools were closed all week. So we had a number of people out there available to us, and our guys just did a fantastic job of doing the job. And I was thinking the other day that because it's a snow event, because I've seen so many pictures of families in the middle of the blizzards and so I was thinking, and my deputies couldn't do that. There are family photos that our deputies won't be in, you know, because they had to work that night or they had to work the very next day. And that's the sacrifice that first responders make. And I'm very proud of them for doing so.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. The photos that they're not going to be in, that's an interesting way to put it. We did have one person pass away in the storm, and we'll talk about that in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the files. John?
If you're traveling I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect a 10 to 15-minute delay through that construction zone. Also, Highway 90 coming south into Pensacola, you're going to see some delays there. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, thanks so much, John. Back to Scambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. We did have, as far as we know, we only had one death connected to the storm in any way, and that was this lady in the memory care center, right?
That is correct, and it's not really, we're not even sure if it was connected to the storm.
Right.
There was a death reported, and by statute, we investigate all deaths that don't occur, unattended deaths, tests don't occur in a hospital, or deaths that a physician will sign off on a death certificate. Mm-hmm. So in this case, there was an elderly individual that was in a memory care facility, and they had wandered off or walked outside and ultimately went to the hospital.
But it's like into a courtyard that they have access to. It's not like outside the building.
Yeah, it wasn't in a wooded area.
Got it.
As I understand, it was a courtyard on the facility itself. There was an open door that they can access in and out. So we're investigating it and because that's our obligation. With the autopsy is completed, but we do not yet have the report. So to say it's weather-related, it's still too early to tell. To say it's even criminal, it's certainly too early to tell.
Sure.
We investigate a lot of what we call unattended deaths, and a lot of them, if they're not suspicious in nature, there's no suspicion of foul play, then we'll look at it and we'll determine that, again, it was either natural causes or if it was a suicide in some cases or maybe just a civil matter that someone has to deal with.
Well, and I mean, that's the job, right, is you have to not take the obvious answer for granted. You have to do the work and make sure. And also, Deanna Oleski, the medical examiner, same thing. You have to look at the physical evidence in the body and the autopsy and make sure that it matches the likely cause of death and that there wasn't, you know, something else going on. Somebody's trying to hide it as a suicide or, you know, whatever. Right. That's all part of the process.
Go back after the fact. So we have to make sure we do everything that we can.
Right.
And take our time with it. It's obviously a tragedy occurred, and our thoughts obviously go to the family in this situation. And we're trying to get a pretty good feel for what took place. We'll put that down. We'll have a conversation with the state attorney's office and determine if there are any criminal charges to be had.
I did want to ask you a little bit about the immigration stuff. Of course, President Trump has already put in a bunch of executive orders. The state at the legislature is in a squabble right now with Governor DeSantis over whose version of local law is going to triumph. You know, at the moment, DeSantis has been scrapped and theirs is going to go. But is he going to veto what they're calling the Trump Act? Unknown at this point. We'll see what the final version is that comes out of it. What time tomorrow are you guys planning to show up at the local elementary schools and round up all of the undocumented kids? Do you have a plan yet?
Yeah, I want to make sure that understand that you're joking.
This is joking.
Yeah,
this is,
yeah.
But that's the way this is being described, is that Trump is telling Chip Simmons to go down to Holm Elementary and pick up all the... Yeah, I mean, like, what is actually going to change from your point of view when kind of the dust settles or as we're going forward?
Well, I guess there's a couple parts here. The first thing deals mainly with the jails. We don't run the jail, but it deals with what happens if an individual is in jail and whether they hold them so that federal immigration officers can start the deportation process. That's for criminals. Typically, if you're in the jail still, you've committed a felony of some sort and you know, a very serious type crime. That's the requirements that are already in place for county jails. But again, I don't run the jail. The rest of that is how much will they, A, mandate, or B, request cooperation and working the local law enforcement with state officials or federal officials. And again, it depends on who you talk to and which article you read last on who's writing this
right,
thing, this whole
right,
political
agreed.
Theater that we always have going on. But I know that from experience that these things change from the original versions to how they are. And people get all up in arms about what things look like and what
was
things
filed,
say.
Right.
And I'm okay with people giving opinions. I hope people pick up the phone and call their representatives or senators and give their opinions, because they should want that. And I know that our locals do want that. But ultimately what we'll do is we'll see what happens and whether there's a requirement on local for enforcement or there's a request for local enforcement. I just want them to remember we're busy. Right? We answer calls for service. We have other things we have to do. There is a federal agency that's tasked with this. If the state, whether it's the governor or legislature, wants to, and this is my opinion, so again, I'm
well, you're an elected
people,
official. You can have
upset.
An opinion.
I can.
That's
people
your job.
Seem to be talking all about this, so I can have an opinion as well. You know, if the state
did I mention that you
involved,
ran unopposed?
Yes,
you're allowed to have an opinion.
I can have an opinion. And maybe someone cares about my opinion,
right?
Yeah, there may be someone out there listening. But I think that if you want to get involved in it, create the state agency. But just keep in mind that the local law enforcement, and I'll speak specifically to the Escambia County, we have a job to do. We're our job, and we're very busy doing it, and we're trying to keep the people of Escambia County safe. Do I want hardened borders? Do I want more secure borders to keep fentanyl from coming in here, keeping violent gangs from coming in here? Of course I do. Do your job. That's all I want them to do.
Don't make me do your job.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with this. We have a job. We're doing our job. And I'm not saying that we're not going to cooperate with federal or state officers. We do that on a number of different avenues. I just want them to understand that local law enforcement is very busy.
Just give me a wild guess. What percentage of calls or arrests that your officers and your deputies do even come into contact with illegal immigrants? I mean, I have no idea what the answer to that question. That's why I ask. I'm assuming the number is a very small percentage.
It is a very small percentage. We do not have the call volume that some of my fellow sheriffs have,
sure,
regarding undocumented
or
you know, potentially those that are in the country illegally. I know a lot of my fellow sheriffs in Central and South Florida are dealing with this a lot. I mean, it's an everyday occurrence for them, and it's really not something that we're getting calls for. We're just not. And that's, I guess that's a good
so
thing.
So like a number approaching 0%,
it's probably a little bit more than that. We do have some that we end up arresting. We do have on occasion.
Well, and I meant that too, like, you know, you'd pull somebody over on, you know, Highway 29 or something or whatever, and you get into their business and they don't have drugs, but they turn out to be undocumented. Like even that, like out of all of the calls and interactions you have, I mean, it's got to be way less than 5%. And I was curious if it was like 1%, 2%.
I'd probably estimate 2.5%.
Oh, okay.
Something along those lines. We did
so one out of 50 vicinity, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Probably. Well, we did some traffic stop information that I was asking for on, you know, who we stopped, regards to our what we call TSDR reports, which basically mandates that we document how many traffic stops we make, the gender, the race of who we stop. So we can determine whether we're enforcing it in a manner which was not consistent with our population.
Is that something that was in place in the sheriff's office before you came? Because I know that was in place when you were the police chief.
It was, yeah.
You brought it over?
Yeah. Well, no, it's mandated for all agencies in
the
state of Florida.
Okay.
So, yeah, we had it at Pensacola Police Department. All agencies should be doing it. And it gives us an idea. It doesn't mean that we have to have exactly this area, but it gives us something to look at and say, okay, this deputy is stopping more of this particular type of individual, but they're working in an area that is the population is you know, it matches that type of a traffic stop.
Right.
So and then we look at the crime. You know, we look at our heat map and say, okay, a lot of this violent crime is taking place here, so that's going to be more. There's going to be more traffic stops in that particular location.
Right. The data might have an explanation, but you got to start with the data to know. You know,
to know if there is an explanation. Yeah.
Exactly right. All right. Well, that's I was curious about that and that. That's actually, when you say, you know, 1 out of 50, that's actually a little higher than I would have expected, but that gives me some sense for Escambia County, and certainly understanding that other parts of Florida, particularly South Florida, I mean, this is a daily for all many of the officers. Sheriff Simmons, as always, thank you for the information. Thanks for keeping us safe, and congratulations on having no northern deputies and winding up with zero traffic incidents in the blizzard of 2025.
We may have some northern deputies. I'm not aware of them. We're not saying all of our northern deputies.
They're closeted northerners.
No,
is that what you're
saying? No, I don't know about that either. All I know is that We look at everyone and say, hey, here's your keys to your car. You've been trained. Please don't crash that
as
car.
As long as they occasionally say, y'all, they're good. All right. Yeah,
cars now. I don't want them all dinged up.
Oh, yeah. How many of the white cars do you have rolled out
well,
now?
Well, we got about 24 to 25 that'll be coming out.
Out of a fleet of 300?
Oh, no. We have a fleet of about 500 cars.
500, okay.
Yeah, for about 450 deputies.
Okay. So, and you said how many are out so far?
We probably have 24 that are either out or just about to go out. We get about 30 to 50 cars a year.
Okay.
And we got the first 25, and we'll get about 20 more.
Are they in demand?
Oh, yes, they're in demand.
They want them?
Yes.
All right. They want the new car, probably.
Well, they want a new car, but also they really like the design.
Okay.
The look
excellent.
Of it.
It's been, again, a cost savings for us, the citizens, in addition to being a new scheme. Again, Sheriff, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Congestion delays right now on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and all the way through the Highway 29 intersection. Also, if you're trying to come from Pace into Pensacola via Highway 90, we're seeing about a 20-25 minute delay there, just congestion issues. So be aware of that. Other than that, traffic is good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel Thursday at 9 a.m. when guests from Florida Power & Light will be on the show discussing programs and resources available to its customers. A team of energy experts will be available to take your calls live during the show to answer questions and share energy savings tips and programs available to scheduling appointments for a free energy survey at your home. All on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate, managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Where are you from?
I can't remember.
Can't you remember anything?
I remember the Alamo.
I remember the Alamo. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, the mysterious drone sightings are back in the Northeast. This is after the FAA lifted their 30-day flight ban. There have been some more unexplained drone sightings from New Jersey to Connecticut, New York, Vermont, Massachusetts. They're everywhere. Videos of these have surfaced online. Senator Chuck Schumer says they're going to be looking into it. The Super Bowl's coming
up. Nothing reassures me more than knowing Chuck Schumer's going to look into it.
That's how you get things done, right? Super Bowl 59 is coming up, and tickets for this Super Bowl may be a little bit cheaper than last year's, but they're pretty expensive still. I don't know if you guys have anything going on. Maybe if you and John wanted to go to the Super Bowl. Tickets are averaging about $8,000 a piece.
Well, dude. Andrew's it's on Andrew this year.
We'll all three go.
Yeah.
But that'd if you good. Go to the Super Bowl, you don't even get to see the ads.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, you know, why would you want that?
To watch
the ads are half the reason to watch, right? Although I guess you do get to be in the arena for the halftime show. So there's that.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a minute.
Listen on air.